CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
All right, welcome back in, guys, to the Go 247 podcast. I'm Glenn West, the senior writer here at the site, joined once again by Dylan Sanders, our contributing writer, contributing student writer. Big weekend for LSU here. We're trying not to get caught up in the trap game as well. We're hard at work. We're putting out some good stuff. Hopefully, you guys are liking it. And obviously, LSU is now in a position here where they control their own destiny. They got the big win over Alabama, but the word trap, the words let down, we've been throwing them around all week here for this game. Are those good verbiages to use, Dylan? Is there anything else we could throw at this as a potential game for this weekend?
The only other word I would try and put is I'm trying to think of how I'd say it is. I guess overrated. It's an overrated matchup because I think LSU is going to go in and be fine. I feel like people are trying to drum up a lot of like, oh, well, they're gonna let down. I don't buy it. I really with what this team has been through, and it's not like this team has been coasting to one away from SEC championship. It has not been an easy road. I feel like they've had enough controversy to know that you have to take every week at its face value. The trap games were Auburn and Florida. Yeah. They felt that they were pushed. They felt the energy. It was hard wins on the road. But now I think they're fine. I think they're to the point of the season where you don't really have to worry about that right now.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into all of it here as we preview this matchup. Yeah, I mean, look, I would say probably just to start off, you know, you look at the Vegas line at 3.5, 3, it's kind of been fluctuating between the two, you know, all week. And so maybe that is maybe one reason why that's been thrown around a little bit, you know, in terms of trap game and all that stuff. But look, at the end of the day, LSU is in a great position here. And I think they have the right guy to guide them through this. I mean, Brian Kelly. You look at his numbers in November, the last 3 or 4 years, he's won 17 straight games in November, which tells you really all you need to know, that his teams are playing their best football at this time of year, the most important time of year for LSU in terms of just the standings, in terms of getting yourself ready for a potential postseason run. All this, you know, kind of outside noise in terms of just kind of being a game that could get a little hairy for LSU. I don't get the sense, you know, in talking with players and certainly with Coach Kelly throughout the week. We just got back from his Thursday press conference, and I actually just asked him straight up, you know, just how's the resolve been of this group? How's the preparation, the focus been after such an emotional weekend? And he said it's been great. It's been exactly what they hoped would be, you know, in terms of turning focus to Arkansas. And getting ready for this game here on a Saturday morning. You know, we'll have our Irish coffees, I guess, at home. And, you know, for the select few fans who decide to travel up to Fayetteville, make sure you pack cold. It's going to be a little bit nippy. Apparently 36 degrees was the last I saw at time of kickoff is what you got to look forward to. But We'll be here at the comfort of our own homes covering this game.
While we're talking about it, I do want to point back just to give people a point of example. We talked about Brian Kelly's 17 straight games in November. 2020 Notre Dame, number 4 ranked Notre Dame beats Clemson at home, 47-40. Tough fought game against a high ranked opponent. Then they go on the road the next week and take care of business, beat I think that was like a 5-6, 6-5 Boston College team on the road, 45-31, handle business. That's just like a point of like this same time of year, same exact situation, handled business.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, look, that's been his MO. I mean, part of the reason you brought him here was not only to get you through to the big games, but to take care of the games you should take care of. I think that's been his big track record over his career. It's why he's won so many games. He gets his team playing the best ball of the year, and we'll certainly dive into it here. I think we could probably start with the offense here. Just some opening thoughts here. Jaden Daniels has been fantastic. We all know it. But LSU is really going to have an advantage through the air, I think, this weekend. You look at some of the numbers from Arkansas, it's one of the keys to the game that I pointed out in our preview and predictions piece. Just Arkansas is not very good against the pass. I think they're ranked number 129 or 130 out of 131 teams in terms of total yards allowed. I think they're averaging 302 yards through the air to opposing quarterbacks. So if I'm Jaden Daniels, I'm looking at this game and I'm looking at Kayshon Booty, I'm looking at Malik Nabers, I'm looking at Mason Taylor, I'm looking at Jack Besh, I'm looking at Brian Thomas. All these guys I would expect to be very heavily involved on Saturday, regardless of the weather conditions. I think LSU is, they understand what that kind of entails in terms of cold weather. But I think this is going to be a potentially huge day for the passing game. It's set up that way. LSU's just looked extremely comfortable on offense. You know, really the last 3 weeks, three games of the year, they've done their job. They've done a really nice job of kind of turning over that new leaf, being aggressive. And it starts with Jaden Daniels. It starts with how he has really just blown up. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. He is playing as good as any other college player right now in the country. He has been that special for LSU. People are – I guess it would probably be a little bit too premature to throw him in the Heisman conversation, but if he keeps playing the way he has been these last 3 weeks, he could have some ridiculously good numbers by the end of the season, and maybe that becomes a conversation. But just, Dylan, what do you think, I guess, offensively is – kind of the advantage here for LSU? It certainly seems like it's going to be in the passing game.
Yeah, for sure. Passing game is going to be where they get their money this weekend. And of course, I mean, we have to assume at this point, I feel like it's every week they have a solid running game, solid Jaden Daniels runs all over. He's eighth in the SEC in rushing yards at quarterback, which is crazy. And then work through the air. I mean, I feel like they have the game plan now, and I don't see a team on the rest of the way in the schedule that is going to throw that off. The only thing, Arkansas does have a pretty good pass rushing game. They're one of the best pass rushing teams in the country. I think they're 13th in sacks right now. Drew Sanders, Landon Jackson, former LSU Tiger, they lead the way there. It's a good Arkansas defense, but it's just like the rest of the team hasn't been as good as everybody had hoped. Dwight McGluthern out there on the boundary had a good start of the season, kind of regressed to the mean now. It's just not the best Arkansas defense of all time. And I think LSU's offense, the way they've been moving, should be fine.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk this week about, you know, the LSU offensive line too. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't bring that up. But the way that those guys have been playing, I mean, that's kind of the engine that starts everything, is those guys getting the push up front. They've been great at opening up some holes for the running game, getting yourself into second and third and short situations. I did do a little bit of research earlier this week and pulled up a couple stats on the O-line. And, this is a group right now that ranks number one in offensive line stuff rate. which is meaning that they are getting the push up front. They are opening up holes, you know, for these running backs. And then they're also number five in pressure rate, which means that they are really keeping it a clean pocket for Jaden Daniels. And it's been a really good all-around effort for these guys as they found some continuity. Just a little bit of an update, I guess, on the O-line. You know, Garrett Dellinger will be back in the lineup. He'll be back in the rotation. He's making the trip to Fayetteville, and Brian Kelly says he's going to have a spot in the rotation, but wouldn't expect him to start. I would expect LSU to continue to roll with that Miles Frazier, Anthony Bradford, Charles Turner interior with obviously Emory Jones and Will Campbell, the two freshmen on the outside. But just having that extra guy in there for depth, I think will do wonders for this offensive line and really mainstay that continuity and that chemistry that they've been building. It'll be good to have Garrett Dellinger back out there for LSU. You know, I'm really interested to see how, you know, this group looks whole in terms of just now that you're playing for something, do you come out and look a little bit pressed, or do you, if things maybe don't go, you know, splendidly right out the gate, you know, I'm not so much worried about that just because it really hasn't been that way all season for LSU in terms of just getting off the right way. I guess at this point in the year, that could be a little bit of a scary thing, but they've had so much, you know, just opportunities at playing in that kind of environment and playing that kind of way, that doesn't really bother me much. Just, you know, I guess Dylan, just closing out offense for a little bit, just any final thoughts you have on just who you're going to be looking at, what you're going to be looking at, and really just the offensive line. That was one of the big takeaways I had from this week's just talking with everybody around the program.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like every week we go into it saying, hey, well, this is a pretty good defensive line. I mean, welcome to the SEC at this point, but this is a good pass rushing game, but I mean, they've held their own. LSU does rank pretty low in the country in terms of sacks yeah. allowed, but you know, they've overcome that at this point. That they're looking better than they were, and a lot of those early sacks were on Jaden just being indecisive. We just don't see that anymore. And you know, Alabama did their thing because Alabama's always going to do their thing with who they have on that defensive line. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that offensive line holds up. It's really been a surprising group. Also want to see if Mason Taylor can ride the momentum. Cause you know, we've seen we know they want to get him heavily involved in game plans. Now he had the game of his life, and see if he can, of course, stay focused and ride through. That's the MO of this game, is staying focused. The offense now getting all the praise in the world. And, you know, people are saying Jaden Daniels, Heisman contender, maybe. But I just want to see them come out and play focused. And I have no reason to believe at this point in the season. I just don't buy into the, oh, they beat Bama, now they don't care, and they're going to lose to an Arkansas team that is pretty bad at this point.
Yeah, I mean that's why you have Kelly here, and I think that they've done a nice job of really instilling the important messages of staying consistent week in, week out, and I don't have a big issue or a big problem with kind of how that's being approached. You did bring up a good point with Mason Taylor. I just, you know, coming off of those two catches or the three catches total, but the two catches there at the very end that were so crucial to LSU pulling out that game. I will be interested to see if they expand his volume a little bit more. You know, really the last three, four games, he hasn't been kind of the central focus that he was earlier in the year. And I think that's done wonders for him, honestly. You know, you get him in specifically drawn up situations as opposed to just always being the check down guy for Jaden. That's really allowed him, I think, to thrive in this offense. So I'm not sure how much you tinker with that in terms of just how much, you know, more volume you want from him, but he's been so good at the opportune times for LSU, coming up with a big catch. He's been really good in the catch and run. You know, he's been a pretty consistent, you know, in terms of just getting the short pass and turning it upfield for big yards. That's mm-hmm. been kind of a common theme for him in recent games. So yeah, I'm going to be very interested to see how they open it up with Mason Taylor. But I do think the crux of this game, at least offensively, is going to have to come through the air. and with those receivers, I think that's I think you could you're in for a pretty good game for the offense in terms of passing yards and kind of getting this thing off, I think, hopefully to a little bit of a better start than what they have been doing. But
if you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
At this point, it's more about this Arkansas defense stepping up and proving that they can stop the offenses in these big games. They've had the test. They have one of the hardest schedules in the country, and they just have failed pretty much all of their tests except for the Cincinnati game at the beginning of the season. And right now, they are just not the same team that they were week one, whether it be injuries or momentum or hype, confidence. I don't know. It's all been about LSU proving themselves. I feel like LSU has proved themselves, and now it's all about Arkansas proving themselves. It's a little bit of a switch of what I think the message has been throughout the week.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, I guess that can lead us into what I think is probably going to be the biggest danger for LSU, which is going to be on the defensive side of the ball and the way that Arkansas runs it. You know, Arkansas comes into this thing, you know, I think top 10 in the country in rushing yards a game. They're averaging well over 200 yards a game through the ground. And that starts with KJ Jefferson. That starts with Sanders, their running back. Those guys have been really, really efficient running the football. Sanders, the running back, is averaging 6.4 yards a carry this season. So this is going to be another one of those games where you're looking at Mekhi Wingo, or you're looking at Jaquelin Roy, you're looking at Micah Baskerville, all these guys to get into the middle, because I do think this is probably more of an uphill, you know, kind of running attack. This is not a running attack that likes to go side to side a whole lot. You know, Jefferson is kind of a different, you know, runner. He's a really effective runner, but he's different from some of the other quarterbacks that LSU's played this year. He's kind of more of a north kind of bruiser, physical, break tackle kind of guy. And so it's going to be really important for this line, for this front seven, really, to be physical and to, more importantly, wrap up and tackle and make sure you're getting these guys to the ground. Going to be another big weekend for Harold Perkins off the edge. You just get that feel that he's really solidified himself as a 65 to 70 snap kind of guy, a guy who can really be involved throughout the entire game as opposed to just certain packages. So look for him to be on the field a lot more, just like he was last weekend. But, you know, I think defensively it's really going to come down to the run game and how you're able to throw off KJ and make him be a guy that beats you with his arm, which he can be capable of doing. He has a good arm, and but you really can't afford to make him a true dual threat guy.
Yeah, it's the question though is if KJ Jefferson plays. Whenever he's healthy, he is one of the most dangerous quarterbacks in the country, but he's not healthy right now. He's not 100%. Even if he plays, he won't be the same KJ Jefferson. He looked really rough last week against Liberty. It is a good Liberty team, but he increased his interception percentage. He tripled his interception percentage on this interception count on the season. He had a fumble. It's, you know, if he doesn't play, then LSU can pretty much fully focus on stopping the run game, which they still will have to focus because we'll get to their running back in a second. But if he doesn't play, it's Malik Hornsby. Sounds like it'll be him ready to go. And he hasn't done much in his career. He's the same kind of quarterback as KJ Jefferson. He ran the ball for over 100 yards against Mississippi State, where he played the most of his career, but he was also 8 of 17 passing. So this game kind of comes down to if KJ Jefferson plays, which if I had to put money, I bet he would at least start the game.
Yeah, no, I think so. The stuff that I've been reading and kind of hearing, it's just, He's got a nagging shoulder injury right now. And so even if he does play, I wouldn't expect their game plan to revolve a whole lot around the pass. You know, if he's playing, you know, you saw some of the struggles last week with Liberty. I think that makes you even more of a case for LSU to really play this as a run heavy kind of scheme that they're going to be facing. But you know, Kate, he does have a good arm. I mean, like that's one of the things that, you know, Coach Kelly's talked about this year, or this week, I should say. He's truly a dual threat guy. He's a guy that can beat you with his arm if he's healthy. And like you said, he's really not right now. So I do think it's going to be really predicated on the run, whether it's him or Hornsby. And we actually asked a little bit about Hornsby today, and Kelly says they've been preparing for both options. They've been preparing for both guys this week. It's kind of what you have to do in this situation. But, you know, you did a pretty detailed kind of breakdown of Arkansas earlier this week. You know, just talk about Raheem Sanders, their running back. He's a pretty electric runner, and I think he's probably the guy that LSU is going to have to really worry about the most out of this Arkansas offense.
Yeah, Raheem Rocket Sanders is one of the more fun backs in the country. I'd say he has an argument for the crown of best running back in the SEC. He's really well-rounded. He's a receiving threat out of the backfield. He's big, 6'2", 225. And yeah, he leads the SEC in rushing yards. He's just big and fast and moves quicker and more sly than he should at his size. So yeah, he's overall just a scary back. So LSU's tackling has not been the best at times this season. It's going to be something where they have to tackle and tackle well to be able to bring down a Sanders. The thing is, he leads the SEC in rushing yards, but with that troubling red zone offense that Arkansas has, he hasn't found the end zone a ton this year. So that could be a good sign for LSU because LSU has been stellar in the red zone. So that's kind of a matchup where LSU wins the red zone defense versus red zone offense. So it's all about keeping that the same as it has been for both of these teams all season.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do is go back and look at the Alabama game last weekend. I mean, the Crimson Tide, they were able to move the ball on LSU in the first half, but what really, really saved LSU and kind of kept them in it was LSU got the first drive, they got the interception from Bernard Converse, but pretty much the rest of the night, they were holding them to field goals, for the rest of that first half. And so that's going to be crucial is if, you know, Arkansas moves the ball down the field, making sure you bend but don't break. That's a pretty tired, I guess, saying, adage, whatever you want to call it. But holding those guys to field goals is going to be really huge. And obviously, you know, clamping down on Raheem Sanders. They do have a couple of receivers you're going to have to kind of keep on the lookout for. Jaden Hazelwood is a guy that comes to mind. Matt Landers. Those are guys that have combined for, I think, a good portion of Arkansas's catches this year. I think they've combined for like 79, 80 catches and a good chunk of KJ Jefferson's passing yards. So he has some guys that he really trusts. You know, if it's Hornsby, you know, I think the scheme relatively stays the same. I don't know that it differs all that much from Jefferson to Hornsby, but it's going to be, it's just going to be really important that LSU tackle well, that they have some of that consistency in the secondary. This is going to be a huge game for Greg Brooks and for Joe Fouché going back to Arkansas where they played the last 3 or 4 years. So, you know, just making sure those guys are mentally right. I think they want to be a big part of LSU's success on Saturday, but you know, making sure that they don't get too amped up, I think is going to be important for those two guys. They played really well the last couple weeks, especially Fouché. I thought he had a really nice game against Alabama. But, you know, it's going to be important for really LSU's entire defense to just stay focused and bend but don't break.
Yeah, I want to ask you, talking to players, how do they feel about the weather in this game? Because that's another big, big talking point for this one.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of asked I think we asked Major Burns about it. We asked Baskerville about it earlier this week, and you know, they kind of brushed it off. I mean, you know, I don't get the feeling that they think that the weather's going to be a huge factor. I mean, they they understand what the task is in hand. You know, the game plan, I think, is going to be, you know, just to continue getting the kind of pressure on KJ Jefferson or Hornsby or whoever's at quarterback they've been getting on these quarterbacks the last couple weeks. I mean, that's really the start of all of this for LSU has been kind of the pressure they've been getting in the backfield, whether it's, you know, through the run or, you know, getting after the quarterbacks, these mobile quarterbacks too. So I don't get the sense that LSU's too worried about the weather. You know, we heard it earlier this week from Kelly that, you know, they practiced in January, February, and March and kind of had those cooler days in Baton Rouge earlier this spring. And, you know, I don't know how much you can't really simulate that when it's 80 degrees outside here in Baton Rouge in November. I bet they probably wish they had had a couple of cold days here and you know, ahead of their preparation, but you know, I don't get the sense that this is a big deal in terms of weather for them. But you know, I guess with that, we can move on to some predictions. I think I'll let you go first, Dylan. How do you see this one playing out?
Again, I feel pretty confident going into this one, which I haven't felt very confident at all this season outside of, you know, like Southern or New Mexico. So maybe that's a bad thing. But I, you know, I don't buy into the trap game with this LSU team, not with Brian Kelly. I'm going to go 38-17 LSU.
Wow! So
I'm going blowout. I'm going ugly game in Fayetteville.
We're going big start, big finish. What's kind of your thinking on that?
I'm just solid, like a slow cook. Just have it going entire game. Just never really in doubt.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable, and that's something we really haven't seen from LSU. We haven't really seen them put together four complete quarters. You know, they've been such a red hot second half team that it's kind of gotten them out of some sticky situations. And so I would love to see that. I would love to see LSU's offense come out and set the tone early. But you know, I think this will be a little bit closer than maybe you think, Dylan.
I'm going full distance. This is an ugly game.
Yeah. I got this in the 28 range. LSU gets, you know, into the 30s on offense. But you know, I think that there's substance here to Arkansas's you know, running attack. I think that's they're gonna find some ways to get going. And you know, I think it'll be a little bit closer, but you know, all in all, I do think this is going to be just a really important game just to get out of there with a win. You know, I mean, you're mm-hmm. coming off such an emotional high last weekend of beating Alabama and Nick Saban and keeping your season alive, playing for, you know, you kind of have your eyes, you know, set on a SEC West berth. I mean, you just want to see this team come out and not beat themselves. And that's something that they kind of were running into a habit of doing earlier this year. It's kept them in a lot of close games this year. It's cost them obviously in the Tennessee game and in the Florida State game. But if they come out and play clean football, offense gets off to a nice start. I like their chances. I like their ability to be able to move the football consistently and come up with a couple big plays on defense and a couple key stops. So I do think it'll be a fun one. I mean, for an 11 a.m. game, you have a lot riding on this game for LSU. And so I know a lot of the fans are going to be really up for it. And it'll be interesting to see which version of this group we get. And if this, you know, what we've heard about Brian Kelly is true and just having his teams ready to play in this time of the year, we'll see if that comes to fruition on Saturday. With that, I think we might
I was going to say, we usually would end these maybe like talking about the ACC. We had a couple basketball games. If you wanted to say a couple things about that start of the season.
Yeah. So I was there for Matt McMahon's opener Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday. They played Kansas City on Wednesday. You can tell this is going to be a work in progress with men's basketball. I don't think they're in the same spot that Kim Mulkey and the women are posting, 125?
125 on Bellarmine.
probably a school record if I had to imagine. But
it is a school. It was a school record.
Yeah.
The old record was 118.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, the men's, they got some work to do. I can't really cap on that one. They really struggled defensively, especially early game. Kansas City was controlling the offensive glass, which is something that it was a little bit of an eyebrow raiser. You know, rebounding is something that, you know, if you talk to any basketball coach, it's effort. It's finding the guy to box out and just doing it. And you know, they weren't really doing that in the first half, and so they let them hang around a little bit too long for comfort. You know, they had some turnover issues in the second half offensively, but I thought the offense did move pretty well for a game one when you're welcoming 13 new guys to this roster. I thought they moved the ball pretty well. And, you know, Adam Miller had a really nice kind of first game in 18 months, dropped 18 points and really looked comfortable doing it. So, you know, I think there's some positives to take away. But, you know, as we said with Coach McMahon after the game, he said, look, we're going to have to balance between being demanding of what the program standards are and then also having some patience as we kind of get this thing going, kind of whittle down the rotations. LSU played 11 guys in the first half. You're never going to see that again, I don't think, the rest of the year. They're going to keep this tight to 8 or 9 players. And so it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back against Arkansas State. Did you have a chance to check out the women's game? Any highlights of that? Or
yeah. So yeah, I couldn't make it to the game. But it was about as much of a poster first week as you could ask for of a season for Kim Mulkey and the squad. They're really preaching the Showtime, welcome to the show kind of atmosphere for this season. And then they come out, drop 125. We didn't get to see Angel Reese in the exhibition game. In her LSU debut, she dropped 31 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. About as good of a debut for a school as you could have. She was the number one transfer in the country, and really proving that she belongs and can play in that. You know, well, again, it was against Bellarmine, but she's really good. Flojay Johnson looks like she's going to be a bucket. Jasmine Carson had a really good night. You have Kateri Poole coming off the bench. She looks like she'll be a solid sixth man. I don't know what they call it. But she's going to be solid off the bench. And you know, this team's really, really good. They signed the number one recruiting class this week, which was also another huge win. So things are looking up. We were talking about on the board and they were asking who's going to win the first championship, Brian Kelly or Kim Mulkey. I think within the next 4 years, there are 3 major LSU sports that have a chance at walking away with a trophy. Women's basketball, baseball, Jay Johnson, and Brian Kelly. All within the next 4 or 5 years, it's conceivable to have 3 national championships come to the school.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's it's a good way to wrap it up and a good way to kind of get us on a positive note if we enter this weekend. LSU's got a game on our LSU basketball has a game on Saturday later in the afternoon. So get your football in the morning and then go check out LSU and the PMAC on Saturday. I know the women play tomorrow, or they play Friday, I believe, in their second game of the year. So lots of LSU sports going around. Should be fun weekend. We'll certainly keep you guys tuned in to everything going on, and we'll have a reaction pod on either later Saturday or Sunday. But you know, we'll have all that stuff covered for you. So make sure you guys are staying tuned in, and we'll catch you guys later.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.